Listening is a rare skill, especially in today's world. These days, we're not encouraged to listen. Instead, we're pushed to broadcast ourselves. We focus on public speaking, constantly share on social media, and talk endlessly on our phones. But when was the last time you felt truly heard? And when did you last listen closely to someone else? Ironically, even though we're more connected than ever, we face an epidemic of loneliness. As the population ages and younger people spend more time on their phones and computers, the quality of communication suffers. It's easier to stay in touch, but people still feel isolated. Our attention spans are getting shorter. Research by Microsoft found that since 2000, the average attention span has dropped from 12 seconds to just 8. Surprisingly, that's less than the 9-second attention span of a goldfish. What's causing this? Our phones and other tech gadgets are big culprits. We're surrounded by distractions everywhere, even in the background music in shops and cafes. This makes focusing on what someone else is saying special. A good conversation can cut through all the noise around us. You'll be surprised by what you can learn. Everyone has interesting stories, you just need to ask the right questions. Listening offers unique insights into people's desires, even with big data. Listening is a crucial skill for many professions, including therapy and military interrogation. As a journalist, the author knows how to get the most interesting insights from interviews. However, she was amazed when she met Naomi Henderson, known as Naomi in her field. Naomi is a legend in running focus groups. Over her 50-year career, she has worked on projects like Kentucky Fried Chicken and Bill Clinton's presidential campaign. She even advised him to tone down his Southern accent. Naomi has moderated about 6,000 focus groups, interacting with over 50,000 people. Naomi has a special talent for making people feel comfortable talking to her. She always stays calm and focused, never crosses her arms or legs, and always seems to have plenty of time for everyone. Her facial expressions show she is genuinely interested in what you have to say. Because of these qualities, many people in focus groups feel eager to share their thoughts with her. This skill has helped Naomi guide many clients toward understanding what their customers want. Since the 1940s, focus groups have been a big part of business research. However, today they face competition from big data. Research now often focuses more on numbers, quantitative research, rather than personal opinions, qualitative research, from focus groups. Quantitative research versus open-ended discovery. Quantitative research can be very revealing, but it only answers direct questions. It can't tell you anything beyond those specific questions. Matthew Sulganic, a sociology professor at Princeton University, says using a data set is like a drunk person looking for keys under a streetlight because it's the only place he can see. On the other hand, Naomi's method can find keys even in unexpected places. This was shown when she helped develop Swiffer, a mop-like cleaning product. By having open-ended conversations with cleaners, she learned that many of them used lightly used paper towels to mop floors. This isn't a question you would ask in a survey, but it led to the creation of a product that mimics paper towels with a disposable cloth. Good listeners are curious and show understanding with brief responses. Some of the best listeners are incredibly curious people. Gary Nesner, a retired intelligence officer and former lead hostage negotiator with the FBI, is a perfect example. When he stays in hotels, he has a quirky habit: he goes to the bar, picks someone, and gets them to share their life story. He does this not for an investigation, but because he has an endless curiosity. Once, a salesman told him about his tightrope walking hobby, and Nesner learned all about how tightrope walkers practice. His curiosity is what made him so effective in talking to terrorists and criminals during crises. Like Naomi, a focus group expert, he's very likable because he pays full attention to others. People just want to open up to him. After the 9/11 attacks, Barry McManus, a top interrogator with the CIA, got a Pakistani nuclear scientist to admit he knew Osama bin Laden. McManus's strategy was simple: he just listened. The scientist began talking about African-American people in the U.S., showing his deep knowledge of American history. Because McManus genuinely listened, the scientist felt comfortable enough to reveal his connection to bin Laden. This example highlights an important point about listening effectively: you don't have to say much. What's crucial is truly following the conversation, which means more than just nodding or repeating words back. It involves understanding what the speaker is saying. When a friend loses their job, they're likely very upset. The biggest worry could be anything from money issues to telling their family. Instead of just saying, "Sorry to hear that," focus on what might be bothering them the most. Encourage them to talk about it. This way, they'll probably share a lot more. Don't assume you know what loved ones mean, always clarify. Who do you find it easier to talk to, a stranger or someone close to you? Surprisingly, many people prefer talking to strangers. This is called closeness communication bias. Psychologist Judith Koche works to address this bias through couples group therapy. In her sessions, multiple couples gather to discuss their relationships. When someone shares their issues, the entire group listens, not just their spouse. The dynamics change significantly when people feel truly heard. Koche's sessions lead to many breakthroughs because of this. If a spouse isn't listening, the group can point it out. Koche remembers a moment when a man who usually talked over his wife finally listened, and she started crying. Close relationships can make us complacent, leading us to think we know everything about our partner's thoughts and feelings. However, people change over time due to new experiences. To understand who your partner is now, stay curious and listen without assumptions. This way, you'll truly know what they're thinking and feeling. Talking to strangers can also be tricky because we tend to stereotype people based on gender, race, or profession. For example, we might assume how someone from Texas will behave, which affects how we listen to them. This is a type of confirmation bias where we only hear what confirms our existing beliefs. But remember, people are much more complex than these stereotypes suggest. Avoid labeling yourself. The author warns against defining yourself by categories like gay person or millennial. Such labels can be misleading because they imply that everyone in that group is the same. Each person is unique, with their own life experiences. Therefore, we shouldn't assume we know what someone else will say. We must be open to the idea that their opinions might be completely different from what we expect. More importantly, we need to accept those opinions as valid. As we'll learn next, this is not always easy. Hearing opposing views is challenging but essential. In 2016, a study at the University of Southern California revealed something surprising. Researchers scanned the brains of people with strong political beliefs while challenging those beliefs. The brain activity resembles what happens when someone is running from a bear. This shows how difficult it is to listen to opposing views. Ahmad Hariri, a professor at Duke University, explains that because we rarely face physical dangers like bear attacks, our biggest threats are usually social. As a result, the amygdala, the brain's threat detector, can overreact even to simple disagreements. We need to overcome our tendency to avoid uncertainty. In 1817, poet John Keats introduced the idea of negative capability, which means being comfortable with uncertainty and doubt. Psychologists call this skill cognitive complexity. Good listeners need this trait to handle gray areas and different opinions, making them better at understanding others and making more thoughtful decisions. However, this doesn't mean you must agree with everyone or fully understand them. Misunderstandings are a normal and useful part of good conversations. Yet, many people hesitate to say, "I don't understand" during a conversation. It's often easier to move on and hope it doesn't matter. But asking for clarification can help you understand someone better. Since we can't always know what others are thinking, they might say things that confuse us. This confusion is good because it gives us a chance to learn more about them. We all see the world through our lens. While we can never completely understand others, knowing ourselves helps us see how our views affect how we interpret others. Accepting this allows us to view opposing opinions and misunderstandings as chances to listen better and grow. Good listening requires asking good questions. A good listener often speaks less than the person they're listening to. However, what the listener does say needs to be perfect. According to sociologist Charles Derber from Boston College, there are two main types of conversational responses: support responses and shift responses. Imagine someone tells you their dog recently ran away for several days. If you respond by talking about how your dog never runs away, that's a shift response, you've made the conversation about you. On the other hand, a support response would be expressing sympathy and asking a follow-up question, like where she found her dog, encouraging her to share more of her story. Not surprisingly, shift responses are more common. But a good listener masters the art of support responses. The challenge with support responses is to ensure they don't subtly push your views. Instead, they should encourage the speaker to continue sharing their perspective. Don't worry too much about sounding knowledgeable. Sometimes, people try so hard to appear smart that they ask questions like, "Don't you think that?" These questions might seem supportive but are more about the asker than the listener. Shift responses like these aren't always selfish, they can come from a genuine desire to help. However, true support responses are difficult because they require acknowledging that you can't solve someone else's problems. Good listeners act like a sounding board, helping the speaker find their solutions. The Quakers, a Christian group, use clearness committees for this purpose. In these committees, members ask well-thought-out questions to help someone solve their problem, showcasing large-scale support responses. Learn to listen. In the 1970s, a Quaker named Parker Palmer used a clearness committee to help decide if he should take a prestigious but demanding job. They repeatedly asked him what he would like about the job, even when he answered with what he wouldn't like. This careful listening helped Palmer realize he only wanted the job for its prestige. Later, Palmer started the Center for Courage and Renewal, a nonprofit that teaches these listening techniques to more people. Teaching people to listen well can be a lifelong effort. Listening means letting others speak without interrupting your inner thoughts. Many people enjoy being the center of attention and steering a conversation. This is especially evident in comedy improvisation, where participants often compete to be the funniest. However, good improv relies heavily on strong listening skills. Improv can teach you to stay focused. At the well-known Second City in Chicago, artistic director Matt Hovde runs a beginner training program. One of the exercises is group storytelling, where Hovde controls who narrates a made-up story and decides when to switch narrators. This forces everyone to listen carefully so that they can continue the story seamlessly when it's their turn. In conversations, it quickly becomes clear if you haven't been paying attention, or if you interrupt with a silly comment that ruins the story. This can happen in business meetings, too, where thoughtless remarks can disrupt the flow. To combat this, many companies are using improv techniques to help employees listen better. This struggle for attention isn't limited to group settings. Even in one-on-one talks, our minds can wander. When we refocus, we might realize we've missed important details. Another issue is that, even if we stay on topic, we might be too busy thinking about what to say next. It's not just improv students who want clever responses. However, if you resist this urge and listen, you'll understand the speaker better, making it easier to respond appropriately. Is a pause really awkward? In the Western world, people often go to great lengths to avoid silence. This can be a problem, especially in business. For example, in Asia, silence is more accepted, and American business people sometimes talk too much to avoid awkward pauses. This can lead to poor negotiation outcomes. But is a pause really awkward? It can show that you are genuinely considering what someone else has said. Here's a challenge: could you stay silent for an entire day? Canadian composer R. Murray Schafer asks his students to try this. By the end, they become more aware of the many sounds around them. So, don't fear silence. Try to quiet your inner voice occasionally and see what you notice. To listen is challenging but always rewarding. Listening can be tough, but here's something even more challenging: you need to listen while you're talking too. As a speaker, it's crucial to understand what your audience is interested in and what bores them. You might think your story is fascinating, but it won't matter if the person you're talking to is distracted or uninterested. To gauge your listeners effectively, pay attention to their verbal responses and body language. If you're still unsure, just ask if they understand what you're saying. Don't expect everyone to listen attentively all the time. It's tough to stay focused because listening is hard work. Think about air traffic controllers. They work in short shifts, usually no more than 2 hours, because longer periods can lead to mistakes from losing concentration. So, what should you do when you run out of energy to listen? Take a polite break instead of pretending to listen. People can tell when you're not paying attention. It's not something you can fake. Reflect on why you're tired of listening. Are there certain people you find boring, repetitive, or hard to agree with? Maybe you feel uncomfortable around them. It's important to understand why you're feeling this way. Know yourself to be a good listener. Think about your reasons for listening and consider whether they reflect more about the person speaking or about yourself. It might seem strange, but to listen well and understand someone, you need to know yourself first. This means being aware of your own biases, habits, limits, and what you hope to get from the conversation. Good listening isn't a selfish act. It's the opposite. Being a good listener benefits both the speaker and you, the listener. Key points. 1. Genuine listening is rare and valuable in today's distracted, technology-driven world. 2. True connection comes from being curious, asking good questions, and avoiding assumptions. 3. Skilled listeners, like Naomi Henderson and Gary Nesner, improve relationships by truly understanding others. 4. Good listening involves being present, valuing silence, and understanding oneself. 5. Listening more and speaking less leads to better conversations and insights. 6. Avoid assumptions and stereotypes to understand people better and combat biases. 7. Effective listening can reveal unique insights and solutions not found through data alone.